that were already at Luther mm-hmm. to the patients that they were receiving. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you want to show the pictures now?
Yeah, we can go into pictures.
Sure.
I apologize. We have lots of pictures, and I don't have all of them with me. Including the interior pictures of the recreation building. We had a tour, I think it was the year after it closed, 2004 okay. or 5. A woman came down from Lansing, and I think she was the director of mental health.
Okay.
And gave us a tour along with the maintenance superintendent, whose name was Dave. And his last name started with a D. Nice young man, and he got into a lot of the gory details. But let me do my best here
okay.
with what we've got, and we'll skip right by the ones that aren't terribly interesting. the A building. This was later. This was, I think, in 2010.
Okay.
Now, up on the top of the A building, that was a sun deck.
Right.
What was its purpose?
It was an enclosed area. Yeah, that's A building. It's an enclosed area where the patients who resided on the units in A building could go up and get some fresh air in a enclosed area, so it was secure. Yeah. It's the top of the A building, and those are screens there, so mm-hmm. patients could not get out and jump. Mm-hmm. And they used that for fresh air.
So that would also be where in the picture, another picture, I don't know if Fred has it, the wading pools.
There were two wading pools.
I'm not sure.
Blue plastic wading pools, which by the time we got there, stuff had blown into it and they had become planters.
Yes.
We didn't know if that was something that was there when you were there or if that somehow magically showed up after it was closed.
I don't think that was there. Okay. It may have been. Are you aware that the hospital had a hearing impaired unit?
No.
All psychiatric patients or patients who had mental illness that resided in the state of Michigan that needed to have inpatient psychiatric treatment were referred to that program, and it was located on the 8th floor.
Hmm. Oh.
I'm trying to remember how long.
So it was
in existence.
Just designated for psychiatric patients who were hearing impaired.
Right.
Okay.
Is it true that the top of North Hill was the highest point in Wayne County?
Definitely, maybe.
You definitely could see downtown.
Oh, yeah. And
didn't you say you took patients and watched the fireworks from up there?
No, but you could see
been
the fireworks.
Microscopic.
Yeah. Yeah.
either that point or where the water tower is on 8 Mile Road. There's an argument over which of those sites mm-hmm. is higher, and it isn't by much. It's like 10 feet.
Oh.
But yes, that was the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a clear day, you could see
you
downtown.
Could see forever.
Yeah.
You could see the smokestacks in Toledo.
Mm.
On a really clear day.
I guess I've never seen
I don't know where this is.
I'm wondering if it's the back road.
I see.
Right?
It could well, I see a building sticking up here.
It might be. We may be coming in from Haggerty.
What you're showing first.
Okay.
It may be the road coming in from Haggerty, and you're getting ready to enter into the hospital property proper.
That could be. This is, for the record, I'm just going to say this is photograph 4. And that, of course, is looking out the main
right.
driveway. I don't remember where this was taken. We were, pretty sure, in the A building.
Yeah, I think it might be the Jewish chapel.
I was going to say, it kind of looks like a chapel because those
yes.
look like some form of Bible and
yes.
look at pews.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a Jewish chapel.
Right. It was right next to the auditorium.
Was it the only chapel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it was specifically designated Jewish because further down, I'm sure you saw we were asking about denominations.
Right.
Did they do different denomination services? That you know?
They had a Protestant service, they had a Catholic service, and there was a rabbi that came in and did services.
And this is photograph 6 we're showing. I think we have this pew. I think we rescued it, and I think we have it in the barn.
Yeah, actually, I think it's in the house.
In the house.
And when he says the house, the barn, he's talking about Thayer's Park. If you're aware of
here. They were talking about that.
We have that pew there stored inside the house.
And it weighed a ton.
Yeah, it's probably solid oak.
Yeah, probably.
So they did bring in the priests locally for those denominations to come in and give service.
Well, actually, we had two prominent Protestant ministers, and they had a contract with the hospital to provide services on Sunday. Hmm. We had a Catholic priest who was the hospital chaplain. He was a state employee.
Hmm.
And then we had the rabbi, and I think he was on contract.
Photograph 9, Michigan Protection and Advocacy Service.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what that's about?
They were for patient rights. And
kind of ombudsman sort
of
thing?
Yes, more or less. They had an office in the hospital. They were not hospital employees. They were state employees. And I'm not sure out of what state department. I don't know if it was mental health or community health, whatever, or if it was another department. But they came and went. They weren't stationed there all the time.
Did they kind of come into play with the courtroom,
mm-hmm.
the courthouse?
The courthouse? No.
No.
Our consent decree, yes.
Okay.
They were involved with that.
This was picture 12. This is written on the bottom of one of the desks, and it was when the furniture was made.
Oh,
so
my
this
God.
Desk was 1948.
Huh.
And it looks like it had been at Ionia Reformatory.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as hospitals closed or facilities closed, hospitals had the opportunity to go and get furniture.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain order, like when Northville closed, Walter Reuther, because it had gotten so many of the patients, had the first opportunity to go in and select equipment and supplies mm-hmm. and materials, and then somebody else had second opportunity mm-hmm. and so forth. And that happened with all the closings. Yep, that's what the desks look like. That is a sad looking room.
Yeah.
And that looks like it's the cafeteria, the staff cafeteria.
Staff
is that
cafeteria.
An A building? Was that taken
this
in A building?
In either A or B. I don't think we ever took pictures in C.
No, that would be
14.
Yeah, this would be the cafeteria. There are all kinds of tables and chairs in there. There against the paneled wall there used to be vending machines. And then there was also a snack bar this was up about 4 steps from the main first floor. And just before you went in there was a side room. And that's where the snack bar was, where you could get, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs. They usually had a feature
for staff.
This was just for staff. And we also did special events for the staff in there. And
that's the snack bar.
That's probably the snack bar.
Picture 15. So there's a vent over a big griddle.
Mm-hmm. Big grill.
Grill. And some big refrigerator-looking things.
Mm-hmm. They had, like, sandwiches and pop and stuff like that in there. And they usually, I can't remember, I didn't eat in there very often. I usually brought my lunch.
So they did prepare their food there. They did have
for staff.
Staff that
yes,
food.
They were also a contract.
Okay.
Do you know off the top of your head how many staff were at the hospital?
Oh my gosh.
No.
Roughly.
Probably not. Generally knew that the patient census, is that something you saw on a regular basis?
Well, I saw the patient census on a regular basis, but I didn't see what staffing numbers were.
So you don't have any idea, like, ratio-wise?
Ratio, it depends on the period of time you're talking about. You know, in the lean years with a high population, it was a pretty high staff-patient ratio. I mean, low. Mm-hmm. You had, and that's only, I'm only referring to nursing staff. Depending on the shift, you had different staffing ratios. It was staffed more heavily on the day shift, a few less on the afternoon, and then the least amount on midnight. In the end, well, almost the end, before we got news of the closure, the day shift, I think, was a 1-8 ratio. But another factor in it, too, was the acuity of the patients. In other words, the severity of their behaviors. Mm-hmm. So the higher acuity units would be staffed a little bit better. Now that looks
16.
Like...
16.
That could be one of the outbuilding cafeterias.
This way.
So there was probably several cafeterias throughout the facility?
Yes.
And there's a bathroom in the hall.
The C building had its own cafeteria. It was a very large one because there were 8 units there.
So would that have been a cafeteria for the patients?
That's for the patients.
And did patients typically come to a cafeteria to eat? There wasn't
mostly
a lot of room servicing unless...
No.
Yeah.
The patients, unless there was a behavioral reason for them to stay on the unit, they were encouraged to go off the unit to the cafeteria for their meals. If they were ill, having a bad day, on some kind of precaution, then they would eat on the unit, and the trays would be brought to them, and they would eat in the day rooms because there were table and chairs in there. That was in C building. In A building, they had a dining room on each of the floors.
Oh.
And they brought the patients off into the dining room.
I never saw that.
In the outbuildings, and this looks like it could be an outbuilding, they had a cafeteria for the patients, and there were 2 units in each of the outbuildings, and that's where they would go. But in all of the units, if they couldn't come off, they ate in their day room.
Okay. This was... a cooler of some sort.
Okay.
This was on a lower level of the A building. That was some kind of a storage room. This is picture 18. An old paper dispenser.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay.
Pharmacy.
Okay. Is that the pharmacy or is that the tube room?
Well... good question. That would be the tube room. This
looks like a bunch of tubes.
Well, the pharmacy, I think, also had a tube system. That was a pneumatic tube system.
Yep.
And because the hospital was so large and so spread out, if you needed to get important papers to someplace more quickly, and they would do that for the doctor's orders, they would have each nursing station, and in each of the offices, they had a tube, similar to like drive-in banking.
Like the bank,
yeah. Drive-through banking. You'd put your, say, doctor's order in the tube, and it would automatically go to the what we call the tube room, and there was an operator in there. And it would drop down. He would look to see where it was supposed to go, and then he would put it in the tube that would go to that location.
Looks like we have some kind of color coding to it.
Yes.
What slide is this, Rick? Slide.
I don't think we're going to be.
Oh, I can tell some stuff. That very one where it says 3M, that's A3M. That was one of the units in A building. That was the medical unit.
This is picture 23.
Yeah, the A11, that was the unit that was on the first floor in A building. You can see down, it looks like the yellows were the A buildings.
A B building, was, B building and C
yeah,
building.
Yep. And C building, like the C24 North, that was one of the units I worked on. That was on the second floor in C building, North End, and it was a female unit. Female units were even numbers, male units were odd numbers. So each building had a letter, and then there was the floor in A building up to the 8th or 7th. In C building, it was just two. C building was the only one that had a north and a south end. So there was either the S or the N at the end of it. And then even or odd number if it was a male or a female unit.
Okay, that was slide 23. I'm reading off the number that's in the upper left-hand corner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, okay. And that was the manufacturer, yeah. Don't know where that is.
Did you ever see that?
No. Not in my
this
travel.
Was in the A building. And I don't remember where.
Somebody's private office.
It might have been in the executive offices. This is the spiral staircase in slide 25. Oh, there's a better picture of.
Yeah. You can see C11 South, the second one down at the bottom that's got the paper on it, that unit was closed.
We're on slide 26.
Oh, the 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth one, well, the third one from the right on the top, A, you see CDTS.
Mm-hmm.
That was Center for Deaf Treatment Services.
Oh. So this was a paper handling system. They didn't send drugs this way. This was...
No. Drugs had to be... I believe they had to be hand-delivered and signed off on.
Okay, well, I just learned something.
And
pipes.
Those were the pipes with the tubes.
The gift shop, slide 28.
That was more towards the end of the hospital. There was a decision made to sell some of the items that patients made.
Mm.
And they also had other gift shoppy kinds of things in there. And they called it the treasure tree.
And then were those funds used for the hospital?
For the patients.
For the patients.
Mm-hmm.
There was a safe in... the administration building.
Oh, that was where money was kept in the accounting office.
Mm-hmm. So when a patient came in and was admitted, what happened to their belongings? Did they keep their wallet and money?
No. Well, they could keep a certain amount of money. I can't remember what the amount was. But we had a property room, which is where their excess property went. It was all labeled and inventoried and that. Their valuables, like driver's license, they had credit cards, went into the safe. And then the patients also were able, if they had their own funds, they were able, that was... They could keep limited amount of funds on their person, but if they had a large amount of money, it was deposited. I think there was a bank that the hospital did banking with. I'm not sure on that. But anyways, it was an interest-bearing account that they had their funds deposited into. But that, I believe, was associated with the accounting office.
That circular staircase must have been adjacent to that vault.
Yeah.
That was slide 33. Oh,
the morgue. Yeah, I know who's down there.
Good. It looked like it was, we're in slide 38. It looked like there was a lot of instrumentation, like the morgue was well equipped.
Mm-hmm.
And let me lead into some of which was being cannibalized. If a patient died,
yes,
and the body wasn't claimed, if there was nobody, I've been told that they were buried at Rural Hill Cemetery in Northville.
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay.
Where's Rural Hill Cemetery?
It's on 7 Mile at the foot of
Rogers.
Rogers.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful cemetery. Mm. I mean, if you're into cemeteries.
You know where Rogers is in Northville? Do you know where Rogers is in Northville?
Yeah.
Where that little gas station is.
Yeah.
It's just east outside of that corner.
But when you to get to Rural Hill, it's way back in the.
Oh, yeah. I see.
You can't see it from 7 Mile.
Okay.
Right?
Correct.
I've actually never been down there. I'm sure you may have.
No.
Oh,
it's gorgeous. Go in the fall sometime and just drive through it. It's spectacular.
Oh.
All hilly.
Oh, pretty.
And, beautiful old trees. Actually, I'm going to go back to that.
I have no idea.
Surely, if I can figure out how, that was, I hope, just to chain up equipment?
I think so. We didn't chain patients up that way.
Okay,
patients might be in restraints, but they did not look like that.
Okay, this is slide 42. These were the dumbwaiters in the industrial strength kitchen down in the basement of the A building.
Okay. Northville had its own employees that worked in the kitchen. I mean, there was a classification. They were domestic servant aides, I think is what the classification was. And they cooked all the food for the patients in the kitchen down there. And then it was either brought by trays or carts to the cafeterias in the dining rooms.
That was slide 43.
Mm. Oh, is that part of the dumbwaiter system?
Yep.
Okay. That was how they got the food up in A building to the floors.
Right.
And if there was a power failure, then they would do a tray line up the stairs.
A relay.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stairs if you're up on the seventh floor.
Yeah. Slide 46, some of the industrial cooking equipment. That was the shock absorber under the elevator.
Oh.
I didn't think you knew much about that.
No.
We got some good basement stuff. The infamous steam tunnels.
Oh, yes.
Now, they weren't designed for people.
Travel.
Travel.
No, they weren't.
Did they ever get used for that, other than illicit kids?
Maintenance would be down there, would travel through.
This is slide 52.
Staff never went in there, weren't supposed to.
They weren't supposed to go in there. I don't know that.
But if the snow was a foot deep.
Yes.
You did not?
No, I didn't want to do anything with those. I was a couple of times. It wasn't the tunnel system, but this around the swimming pool in the recreation building.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the filters and all that kind of stuff was. I had occasion to go down there a couple of times. That was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very crowded because there were pipes that went around the pool. And of course, you know, you had the cement sides of the pool, and then you had the walls for the foundation or whatever it was, and very narrow spaces, and it was humid and wasn't real pleasant.
We were told on our tour that the state had just redone that pool.
Closed.
The mechanicals, perhaps?
Perhaps the mechanicals. The pool, well, see, the pool had not been used in quite a while, and then it was opened, and then the laws for operating swimming pools changed along the lines.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was that you couldn't have a diving board or diving blocks unless the pool was a certain size and certain depth. And that pool had both of them, so they had to remove those.
Mm.
But probably what they were talking about is that one of the laws that had recently changed is that pools had to have two drains. Mm. Our pool had one.
Mm.
And the reason the law had been changed is that with just one drain, the suction was so great that it could actually keep a person down at the bottom of the pool. And so we had to go, if we wanted to continue using the pool, they had to go to the expense of putting in a second drain. They did do it.
Oh, they did do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it was open for some of the time when you were there?
Yes.
Open, closed, and open again?
Yeah.
This was the A building?
Oh, that's Mahogany Row.
Mahogany Row.
Yes. That's where all the big administrative offices were located.
Slide 56. Somebody had stolen the handrail.
Yes.
I'm not sure where that
was. I'm not sure where it is either.
Wildflowers. And this was walking to the west. There was a railroad track that had come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they delivered coal for the powerhouse originally.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told that they also delivered sides of beef to the butcher shop and coolers. And I think that was that building.
Okay.
It was built right on the on the railroad track.
Okay, that could be.
That was.
I know that that's the back fence.
61, the infamous green fence. This was on slide 63. This was some kind of a fruit processing machine.
Okay.
Back in the day, a Mrs. Smock, after whom Smock Street is named.
Mm-hmm.
Owned an apple orchard, which was part of this property. And I think they were still harvesting apples.
Mm.
Printing press, slide 65.
Yeah.
And these huge, slide 66, these huge storage facilities. This was a flower locker.
Mm.
The size of this room. And these were coolers. You can see the big insulated doors,
yeah.
Double doors. Oh, slide 67. I have no idea what that is.
I don't either.
The restraint chair.
It's a restraint chair, yes it is.
Slide 71. So were these in use throughout the facility?
doesn't look like it's that old.
It doesn't
or else it was fairly, or else it was newly upholstered. Yes, it was used throughout the facility. I mean, there wasn't a lot of them. We tried not to put patients in restraints. Actually, the preference, if they needed to have restricted movement, was to put them in a seclusion room before putting them in restraints. Because the seclusion room, at least they could get up and walk around. Where in a restraint chair, obviously, you're there.
You're restrained.
Yeah.
We have that chair. We kept it.
Oh.
We salvaged it. Lafayette Clinic storage.
Oh, they must have they must have taken a door from Lafayette Clinic when it closed.
Could well be.
No time clocks.
Did you?
I didn't have to punch. My staff didn't have to punch in. I think. I don't know if nursing had to or not. Maybe early on. I think in the maintenance department they may have used something like that, but I'm not sure.
On slide 73. These again were the coolers. Okay, slide 78. This is a building I call the industrial building, and we were told that patients would do piecework in this
that
building.
That was the work therapy building.
The work therapy.
That was part of the AT department. And yes, there was a contract with a company called Sprayco, and they do they do plastic containers. And we had a contract with them, and we had a contract with Digitron, which was a part supplier for Ford Motor Company. And, Digitron. And
that sounded familiar.
We did packaging parts for them.
So this was using patients.
Mm-hmm.
And did the patients get paid?
Yes, they did. Initially, it was piecework, so they got paid by the piece, and then eventually we switched over and we did minimum wage. Piecework, there's a lot of, you have to have a special license, and there is a lot of extra paperwork and time studies, and it's very complex, and as the rules became more complex than that, we found that it worked better just to pay them minimum wage. And they got a paycheck through the state of Michigan. Mm. We had to do timesheets on them. And they would get a wage statement, and their money would come in, and their checks deposited with the accounting department. And then they could put a request in for money release and pull money out. Mm.
So this was probably that same building, mm-hmm. with the packaging area.
Right.
This is slide 83.
Yes, we had a certain area where they did the receiving, and they checked everything in according to the parts list that came in. And then the packaging, there were two packaging areas. And then shipping, that once it was packaged according to the specifications and palletized, then it would wait to be picked up and shipped out.
Did patients volunteer to do this work? Or?
They had to volunteer. Under the mental health code, you can't force a patient to work. And so it had to be voluntary on their part, but they had to have a doctor's order in order to work.
Was this a popular thing?
We had a lot of patients there, and we could have had more patients in the program. Some of the patients just weren't interested. They didn't want to do a whole lot. They weren't real motivated. where others were motivated by the money, or some were motivated just by the fact that it gave them something to do.
Boredom. Work
activity center, right.
Slide 85. Fire hydrant.
A dog.
My dog.
Oh, your dog.
My light dog. Okay. Then we have pictures of a bunch of the buildings.
Do you have anything in that folder with the recreation building?
Yeah, I see it in there.
Yeah, let's look at the recreation building.
It's just exterior.
Exteriors.
Now, where are the interior?
I don't have the... We have pictures of the pool and the auditorium and the gym.
You had those at the presentation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which...
And I would be happy to share them with your Facebook group.
Oh, okay.
If your folks are interested. I think these are going to be all exterior pictures. This is Bill Civi's 163. So what I remember is that this is the auditorium.
Right.
These are offices.
No.
You talked about offices.
No, they're not offices.
No.
They were classrooms.
Classrooms, okay.
Yeah.
The gym might have been this.
That might have been there. It probably was that, because then there were stairs at the back of the gym where you could go down to the swimming pool, or else there were... that's not typically how you went. Or there were hallways on either side that would take you down to the locker rooms, and you could go through the locker rooms into the gym.
So when you say classrooms, what were those used for? Were those used for their therapy sessions?
Yeah, it was an activities building, and so we had ceramics room. We had a kiln. That was a very popular activity for the patients. We had a music room with musical instruments. There was a large arts and crafts room. There was the bowling alley, and then, of course, the gym and the swimming pool. There was a large recreation room that had ping pong tables and pool tables, you know.
And did it have, like, a snack bar kind of a...
There was a snack bar in there. My understanding is that at one time it was an operational snack bar that was run by the patients.
Mm.
And I think it was staff could go over there. That was before my time being associated with the building.
So when you're talking about all of these facilities, the gym and the swim and the bowling and all that, were these all used in some way or form of therapy for it, or was some of it just for them to merely... have something to do. Keep them busy, keep them occupied.
Kind of both. During the day, we had a structured program, and the patients were referred. We called it the CAT program, Centralized Activity Therapy. And the patients were referred by their treatment teams, and it was part of their treatment plan. And there were certain goals. There was a problem on their plan that this was the treatment to address that problem, or maybe one of several treatments to address the problem. And there was a goal, overall goal, that they were working towards, and then objectives. And we placed them, based on that information, an occupational therapist identified the types of groups that they should be assigned to. And we had a program in the morning, a morning session, afternoon session. They had two classes. They either came morning or afternoon. We had two classes in each session with a 15-minute break or 20-minute break in between. And they were checked in if they did not arrive and we had not heard from the unit that they were not coming, the unit was contacted to say John Brown didn't show up, did you send them? Mm-hmm. So that if they had sent them, they could start looking for them. And there were progress notes that were written on them and inserted in their charts. And it was a well-received program. Then at night, we had staff on duty. And then it was open recreation. Okay, so and nursing staff, yeah, nursing staff could bring a group of patients from their unit over there. And the AT department had staff in each of the rooms that we had open. Not all the rooms were open, but in the rooms we had open, to more or less lead the activities that were going on in that room. And then the nursing staff just kind of circulated to keep an eye on the patients and step in if there was assistance needed.
What was the theater used for?
Okay, are you talking about the auditorium that was in the building?
Yes, in this building.
We did special presentations. We had talent shows that were done in there, patients. Talent, and we had some talented patients. We also had done fashion shows. Staff from throughout the hospital would bring in clothing, and they would conduct a fashion show with the patients. Do you remember when the Detroit Police Department had the band, the Blue Pigs?
Yeah.
They came several times, and we had done it in the auditorium there different times. We also had done, I think, one of them outside before. And for a period of time, the Plymouth Theater Guild had their home theater based in the building, in that auditorium.
Mm-hmm. So used a lot for entertainment purposes for the patients and staff.
Yeah. That was always interesting when they had a production coming because they had to work around us, but we had to work around them, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a program to run, but they had performances that were happening over, like, it might be three sets of weekends or something like that. And the bathrooms in the halls, in the main hall that goes to the auditorium, had to be cleaned, but we still had to run our program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had logistics to work out.
Was the gym ever used for outside program, for outside?
No.
No.
Oh, well, not that I'm aware of, and not during the time that I was responsible for the building.
Marv Gans told us that when he was the athletic director at Schoolcraft, that they used to use the gym for basketball games.
Oh, okay. You know the hospital had two gyms, right?
No.
Yes, there was that gym, which was a huge gym.
Enormous, yes.
And then
the recreation.
Right, the recreation building. And then there was a gym in C building. Really? C building had a large recreation area. They had the gym downstairs on the first floor. It was by the cafeteria. And I don't know if you have any shots of C building or not.
So A's the big.
A's the big, and the B was up.
C was kind of an E shape.
The E's the one, yes, that's the one that's still standing.
Still standing there.
Yes, there's a gym in there.
There's a gym in there.
There's a gym in there. It's a good size, it's a full size gym. And upstairs, there was a recreation area that we used with the patients, and it had pool tables, ping pong tables, card tables. We did table games and cards with them. We used it as classroom area.
I have a question for you. These buildings that are still standing, like the activities building.
Is the activities building still standing, or did they tear it down? No, it's still there?
We ran out of money.
Oh. Okay.
Can you get in it?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah.
Oops. Here's a map.
Okay, I can show you on that.
Which I just messed up. Let me get that back.
It disappeared.
Yes, it did. Let me go back.
Okay.
this?
Yep.
The east.
This was north.
Correct.
This was south. This area in here, the cafeteria was in this front part, and the gym was back here.
Okay, so 7 o'clock in the park. Okay, we're looking north.
And the patient rooms, were they off those ones? The patient's rooms, yeah. Were these rooms? Yeah, the rooms. Two up on each of these. Okay. I mean, one up on them.
Yeah. So the gym is in there. Okay. So look, if you were over here looking east,
if you're from that, yeah, this is the activity building.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be this part sticking out with fat on it.
Yeah. You're going to generally, now, most people are going to see it as they drive this way.
Right.
Because when you see it driving, you're not going to see the perspective of
right.
the deep part of
right.
the building unless right. you're right over here, which you're not yet.
So on this map, Fred, what they took down was A and B there, right?
A and B is what we took down.
Yeah, that's all that got taken down. So everything else is still standing for the most part?
And those are down also.
They're gone now. So yeah. This is where the new headquarters are for the...
Right, yeah. Cooper Standard.
Okay. So the 11, isn't it 11 that are left? Going to be at the
11,
end of this
11
year.
Left.
Yeah, 11 left are somewhere around here.
Yeah. See, when I was talking about the young adult units,
yeah.
this was M... And oh, so you could see
yep.
they're away.
Yep.
So they were kind of really their own little entity, yeah. although they were part of yeah. the property. The property, okay. the right. hospital.
Actually, there's a large woods
in the
forest here. Yep.
Yeah. And there was a path that went through there because yeah. one of these, I think this one was the work activity center.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you could come out. Somewhere. And walk through the woods. It was the path that went through. It was a very pretty.
Oh, it was gorgeous. And one of the things that I have read was that this was, they considered this to be the front of the A building because it looked down onto the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And nature was supposed to. Cure
mm-hmm.
patients.
Yeah.
When the property was sold to the developer, this is where he started harvesting the trees.
No.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
We have pictures of trunks like this on trucks.
Oh.
That's what led the township, basically.
The so residents. Part of the question we had in there was, did you use the nature a lot in some of your activities, therapies? There was a garden.
There
was. In fact, I brought some pictures.
Because that's the best map I've ever seen. It's very simple
so
that everybody can understand.
The
so the one that I use in my talk is okay,
kind of
but that's real simple.
And that's 7 mile on top, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You. That throws you off when you look at it. Say, wait a minute, that's wrong.
So where was the garden? Was
but in fact, it's obviously right.
There?
Well, but you got to turn your head around
right.
to think
it
about
over
it. But.
Here. It was over there.
Like I said, the one I use in my talk is...
She was there 26 years. I was on that property twice.
My office yeah.
And
was
one of the time
there.
Wasn't to see her.
Oh, so did you hear that? Her right. office was right
there. Oh, I was going to... That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So,
my office
okay, so
is still there.
Yeah. yeah.
So is this...
Are you saying you can't get in those buildings now?
No, that's considered
yeah,
a hazardous site.
So
it's full of asbestos.
Okay,
there's actually a $400 fine.
They took care of it.
Okay. And they did use it. We had, at one time,
so you can take it through the building and show you what's going on.
I know.
And we did
so does Northfield own the property?
Produce from our garden. Okay.
Is it true that
wonderful.
When it first
hopefully we can be heard on the marketing since we're away from
Show staff. Okay.
Show staff did buy it. And he's the one that was ripping out the trees and selling the hardwoods.
Mm.
And the residents went crazy.
I mean, there's trillium in there.
Oh, yeah. And the residents went crazy, and we passed a bond issue.
So
raised $21 million
yeah,
in bond posts.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean,
good
things. Yeah. Could we have seen plans, you know, on houses and apartments?
Oh, they were going to put...
They were just going to pack it in,
oh,
weren't
yeah.
they?
And the first thing we said is, Well, they got a hell of a community building right there with the pool and the bowling alley and the gym.
It would have meant a lot of rehab.
None of which was ADA compliant, but yep. That's a detail. Yep. And it had no heating system or anyway.
That building, it was a pain sometimes. The winters were really rough, and we were frequently had water main breaks.
Oh.
And if we had no water to the building, we couldn't have patients in the building. So it meant that we shifted our programming to those two recreation areas over in C Building, the gym and upstairs. We called it C2O, and I don't know why it was called C2O other than it was in C Building, it was the second floor, and I don't know what the O stood for. Maybe because it was, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But we'd have to move over there. And then there was the day that I came in, and we had a area supervisor that was assigned to the building. That mean it was her responsibility. And she said, "Sue, we've got water pouring out of the ceiling." Oh. And they had a busted pipe in the ceiling. Oh. And when I went over there, they finally got the water turned off, but we had the water like this.
Did they get on the wood floor?
No, that it didn't. It was at the front of the building. Oh. So, but that was a good picture.
That's a wonderful picture.
I like that picture. Yes.
So there's your C building.
Yeah.
The A building facing the woods.
Yes, you can see,
you can see it coming out of the woods. They would come out the path here and cut across, and then it went through, and it came out down around here. But with my office over here, many times, in the nice weather, when I had to go over to the activity building, I would just walk.
Just walk, sure.
And the deer. Many mornings you could look out when you come in,
slide number.
And the deer was standing there.
What's the slide number?
This is internet.
Sure.
And I sent you the link that's got all of these pictures.
Okay.
So this building is gone. The B building is gone.
Do you want that picture, Sue?
Can I have that? I mean, can you send me a copy of that?
It's on the internet.
Oh, okay.
And I just did a...
Just right here.
Here, I'll send you...
Okay.
You see what's up there in the blue?
Yes.
Detroit.
Turbex.
And I think that stands for Urban Explorer.
Where did we spend most of our time there?
Across the street.
Across the street at Rice.